All right. Looks like we've already got a couple of folks on who dialed in on our inbound participant line. We are dialing out to thousands of your fellow Adams County residents right now, and welcome to tonight's live telephone town hall with Adams County residents. We will be joined tonight by the Adams County Commissioners, Sheriff, Clerk and Recorder, County Manager, Executive Leadership Team, and representatives from county departments. We will start with some very brief introductions, but we want to spend most of tonight's forum answering questions from those of you in our live listening audience. Again, tonight we're dialing out to almost 100,000 of your fellow residents around the county, so I'll repeat this first part one more time, and then we'll get into our forum. Again, welcome to tonight's live telephone town hall with Adams County residents. We will be joined tonight by the Adams County Commissioners, Sheriff, Clerk and Recorder, County Manager, Executive Leadership Team, and representatives from county departments. We'll start with some very brief introductions, but we want to spend most of tonight's forum answering questions from those of you in our live listening audience. If you already have a question in mind for Adams County leadership, press 0 to get that question to an operator. We have experts joining us tonight from many of the county's departments, spanning from human services to budget and finance, public works to community safety and well-being, and so many more. We also have your Adams County Commissioners, Sheriff, and Clerk and Recorder here to lead the conversation, provide updates, and again, to answer your questions. So as you're listening in with us tonight, be thinking about questions you'd like to ask our Adams County leaders and experts. And again, all you have to do is press 0 to get your question to an operator. We want to take as many of your questions as we can in the time that we have with you tonight. You can ask your question live, or you can let your operator know if you prefer to have me read your question over the air instead. Whatever's more comfortable with you is fine with us. Either way, again, it's 0 on your phone to submit a question to one of our operators for Q&A. And if you'd like to get email updates from Adams County on the issues that affect you as a county resident, just press 7 to give us your best email for the county e-newsletter. We'll also read some brief public service announcements and run some survey questions throughout our forum tonight. So even if you don't have a question to ask, stay tuned to learn about county events and to give your opinion through our surveys by voting on your phone. So once more, 0 to submit a question for Q&A, 7 to give us your email address to get updates from the county. And with that, it's my pleasure to kick off this live forum by turning it over to the chair of the Board of Commissioners, Julie Duran Mullica. Commissioner, please go ahead.
All right. Thank you so much. Hello, everyone. Good evening. My name is Julie Duran Mullica, and I am chair of the Adams County Board of County Commissioners, and I represent District 1. I want to welcome you all tonight to our 2026 Telephone Town Hall and our first town hall of the year. Tonight, we want to talk about the issues that matter to you, no matter how big or small. Whether your questions are about social safety net programs, the county budget, federal policies, or things you're seeing in your neighborhood, we want to know and we want to talk about it, and we're glad you're here. We're going to zip through some introductions of elected officials and county leaders here on the call tonight because we want to make sure we have as much time as possible for your questions. So on that note, I'm going to pass things off to our next commissioner and invite each of our panelists to share their favorite thing about living in Adams County. Mine is our open space and parks, and I love enjoying those spaces with my family. I'm going to send it on over to Commissioner Henson.
Good evening. My name is Kathy Henson. I am the commissioner for District 2. And my favorite thing, or one of my very favorite things about living in Adams County, is driving along Riverdale Road and other rural roads in our beautiful county. And now I'm passing it over to Commissioner Pinter.
Hello, I'm Commissioner Emma Pinter. I live in District 3 in Westminster, though we all serve at large, so we're all honored to serve with you in Adams County. My favorite thing about living in Adams County is all of our different events that take place all throughout the year, from the County Fair and Stars and Stripes to Adams County Pride and Festival Latino. We're always out celebrating with community. And I'll pass it to my colleague, Commissioner Odorizio.
Hi, my name is Steve Odorizio. I'm your District 4 County Commissioner. And one of my favorite things about the county, obviously, are the people who get up every day, work hard, follow the rules, and help their community. And now I'm passing it along to Commissioner Baca.
Hi, I'm Lynn Baca, County Commissioner, District 5. So it covers Brighton, Eastern Adams County, and spins around, picks up the most northern communities in Aurora. So my favorite thing about living in Adams County is our animal shelter. And I'm going to pass things off to Sheriff Gene Clapp.
Hi, I'm Sheriff, I'm Gene Clapp, the sheriff here in Adams County. And my favorite thing in the county is the opportunity to be able to serve and work for a community that have I grown up in my entire life, but have also owned businesses and part of the community, and I appreciate the opportunity. Now I'm going to turn it over to our clerk and recorder, Josh Zigelbaum.
Thanks, Sheriff. I am Josh Zigelbaum, the county clerk and recorder. My favorite thing about living in Adams County really is just the diversity of opportunity that we have here, from the people to the food to nature. Everything you've got here in Adams County is just very much enjoyable to me. And I will turn on over to our lovely county manager, Dion Strutter.
Good evening. I am County Manager Dion Strutter. And my favorite thing about Adams County is just the diversity of people and places we have, from beautiful parks and open spaces to small towns and farms to urban neighborhoods that make Adams County such a unique place to be. Tonight, we also have the rest of our executive leadership team, as well as all of the directors and many of the deputy directors from our county's departments here to answer your questions. Our moderator is going to get us started in just one moment, but first, I'll hand things back to Commissioner Mullica for one more important message.
Thank you, Dion. I want to briefly address a topic I know is top of mind for many: the presence and actions of U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement in communities like ours across the country. We've heard your concerns and received multiple questions in advance of this call about immigration enforcement. Because we have limited time tonight, I want to address this head on. Federal immigration enforcement is a federal responsibility. The Adams County Sheriff's Office enforces local and state law only. Local officers do not act as federal immigration agents, and they consistently uphold the constitutional rights and civil liberties of our residents. Sheriff Gene Clapp is here with us tonight and can answer any questions that come up more thoroughly. We're working closely with partner organizations throughout our community to make sure our residents and visitors know their rights and where they can access legal support. We're also closely following legislative efforts to protect civil rights at both the state and federal level, and where appropriate, advocating with our own local delegation. We know, especially following recent events in Minnesota, these topics feel urgent and personal. I hope this helps answer some of your questions, and while we won't be able to cover everything tonight, we'll continue to return to these questions as needed. I'll wrap up by saying Adams County affirms and upholds the dignity, humanity, and rights of every single person, period. Our hearts are with immigrant and ally communities across the nation who are experiencing fear and uncertainty and coping with unimaginable loss and grief. At the same time, we are moved by the actions of solidarity and bravery taken by ordinary human beings in neighborhoods just like ours, everywhere, to stand up for what's right. And with that, I'll hand things over to our moderator for the evening, Ian.
Thank you so much, Commissioner, and thank you again for everybody around Adams County who's joined us tonight. We have some questions coming in from our live audience. Some of you already submitted some questions through our web registration page. We'll also be running some polling questions. You can vote on those. We appreciate that feedback as well, and we'll have some PSAs. We're going to start with one of our pre-submitted questions from a web registrant, and we'll have Elizabeth on deck with a live question in a moment, along with some of those polling questions. Let's get to this question from Pam in Aurora first, who says, I'm a child care provider in Adams County. I'm gravely concerned about the Colorado Department of Early Childhood inability to draw down funds to reimburse the providers for services rendered from CCAP. What is our local government doing to ensure these funds can be drawn down, to ensure programs can stay open for business and support the larger workforce in our county? And I believe for the answer to this question, we'll start with Commissioner Henson.
Yes, thank you, Ian, and thank you to our resident for this very important and timely question. We understand your concerns, and Adams County is actively and closely monitoring the situation and working with state oversight agencies, such as the Colorado Department of Early Childhood. We are sharing new information as we know it. We would first like to share that Adams County and our Human Services Department are committed to our residents and ensuring that your services and programs are protected and continue without disruption. The Colorado Department of Early Childhood has confirmed that they have received their normal drawdown funds as of January 23, 2026. And Human Services continues to provide services like the Child Care Assistance Program, or CCAP, as a lot of people refer to it, as normal. No matter what happens next, Adams County will continue to support our community in every way we can, because we know that benefits like these make a significant difference for those who receive them, and they are a crucial income source for the child care providers, like the community member who asked this question, who offer quality child care to families utilizing CCAP benefits. We encourage our residents to stay up to date on all our benefits on our benefits website, which you can find a link to on adamscountyco.gov/townhall.
Thank you so much for that answer. And we'll go to our next question from Hanny in Westminster in a moment here, but a reminder to our live listening audience, we've got over 6,000 of you listening right now. If you have a question to submit, press zero, get it to an operator. Happy to take you live, but I'm also happy to read your question if that's more comfortable for you. So if you want me to read it, just let your operator know that when you press zero to give us your question. And you can also press seven to get email updates from the county moving forward. We'd love to keep you updated in the future via email. Let's go to Hanny in Westminster, who asks, I'm curious what the county is doing to support and protect people with disabilities, as well as the child care access crisis. And I believe we'll start on this answer with Commissioner Pinter.
Thank you so much, Hanny, for this question. It's really important. We have a wide array of services available in Adams County, like ALIS, which provides door-to-door transportation and assistance for residents that are over 60 and or they have a disability. You can stop by our community partner suite at our Westminster location near 120th and Pecos, or utilize the Adams County Resource Locator for additional organizations and support. You can find that resource and anything else we mentioned on the town hall at adamscountyco.gov/townhall. For childcare, Adams County Human Services, we operate with the Early Childhood Partnership of Adams County to make sure that we're coordinating together, utilizing the state local coordinating organization to make sure that we are effectively partnering Human Services with the Early Childhood Partnership of Adams County to make sure that we have those connections, as well as our state oversight agencies around childcare in Adams County. Director, have I missed anything?
No, that was well covered, Commissioner. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Director McDougall.
Thank you again, Hanny, for that question. And we'll go to our live audience for this next one. This is from Elizabeth in unincorporated Adams in Westminster. Elizabeth, welcome to the call. What's your question?
Hi. So my question, my neighbor has a carport, and the county is telling him he needs to take it down. I'm curious, why is that, that he's being told to take his carport down?
All right, Elizabeth. I was jumping right in there, Ian. Thank you so much for this question, Elizabeth. This is Julie Mullica. I wanted to just address this by starting off that COPE compliance is responsible for enforcing zoning and building codes uniformly to manage safety, aesthetics, and property standards. I totally understand your concern. And I understand this presents a hardship to your elderly veteran neighbor. And one of the things that I think is really important that we're following up with a specific individual, but one of the things that's important for us to say on this call right now is that our code compliance team strives to assist residents in achieving voluntary compliance. We're here to help you and work with you. So we want to connect you to resources. We want to work together to make sure our communities are safer and more attractive and more accessible for everybody. For more information, we are directing everybody to the following website, adamscountyco.gov/townhall. And we're going to put some more information on that website around our code compliance practices, but first of all, just know we're going to reach out specifically to this individual and work with them.
Got it. Thank you. And Elizabeth, we've got your contact information, so we'll go ahead and flag you for follow-up and make sure somebody reaches out to you. Thank you again for your question. We're going to go right to our next question. It comes to us from Jody in Brighton, who's asked me to read this one for her. Jody's asking, what is going on with Willow Bay? It is a county-owned lake off of Brighton Road. And I think for the answer to this question, we're going to go to Byron Fanning, our Director of Parks, Open Space, and Cultural.
Thank you very much for the question. Willow Bay is a property located at about 136th and Old Brighton Road. And the county did purchase that property for future development. At this time, there is not funding available to do that development project. So until we are able to develop it, it is currently closed to the public.
Understood.
I hope that answers your question.
Yeah, I appreciate you very much, Byron. And we're going to go to our first survey question next here, folks. We've got several surveys we're going to run tonight. And we'd love it if you can vote in these to give us your feedback tonight. And thank you again for those of you submitting questions. So our first question for you is this. What is your biggest economic concern right now? Press 1 if it's housing, rent, or utilities. Press 2 if it's affordability and or access to food. Press 3 if it's cost of healthcare. Press 4 if it's job security. Press 5 if it's transportation. So again, what is your biggest economic concern right now? Press 1 for housing, rent, or utilities. 2 for affordability and or access to food. Press 3 for the cost of healthcare. 4 for job security. And 5 for transportation. Go ahead and vote on that poll. We're going to get our next question up coming to us from Lyndia in Westminster, who's also asked me to read it. Her question is, on the C-Click-Fix, how does it work when someone submits a problem? What are the actions taken after the acknowledgement? So again, Lindy is asking about C-Click-Fix and how does it work when someone submits a problem? What are the actions taken after acknowledgement?
Hi, Lindy. This is Matt with Community Safety and Wellbeing. When we receive messages through C-Click-Fix, we go ahead and triage them to make sure first they arrived at the correct department. And then if they did not, we will go ahead and forward that on so that appropriate action can be taken. If it does belong to the department and did get routed correctly, we will go ahead and begin action on that by passing that along to those that are responsible for that direct service. The way we use C-Click-Fix is a bit of an accountability and communication portal with our residents. So you'll be able to see as we update items of action that we have taken. So feel free to go back and review those C-Click-Fix submissions, and you'll be able to see the status of those.
All right. Thank you so much. Appreciate that answer. Thanks again to everybody who voted in our survey question. We'll have 4 more of those before the end. We've also got some PSAs that we're going to be reading tonight. And so if you want to get some information on these public service announcements, go ahead and grab a pen and paper and get ready to write those down. We're going to go to this first PSA about Toolshed. Now, throughout the evening, again, we're spotlighting some of Adams County's resources and programs our residents may not know about. And we're going to keep these short so we can get back to your questions. Adams County Toolshed is our first one. So Adams County Toolshed lets residents borrow yard and garden tools at no cost to you, whether you're working on your own yard or helping with a neighborhood cleanup. You don't have to buy or store equipment you may not use all the time. It's practical, it's free, and it helps keep our neighborhoods looking their best. You can learn more and reserve tools at adamscountygov.townhall. And we're going to be going to our next question live. It's going to be from Duke in Thornton. Duke, we appreciate you joining us. Welcome to our call. We've got you live.
So I'm wondering about the Monaco and McKay Road widening. And ever since I moved in here about 15, 16 years ago, it has been the bane of my travel. It extends my commute by a good 20%, just that little tiny stretch. and wondering what you're going to do about it.
Hi, this is Janet Lundquist. I'm the Interim Director of Public Works, and I'm really excited to tell you we're working on this. The County Commissioners just approved our contract to begin work on this project. We're going to be doing a operations improvement program for Monaco and McKay, pretty much 96th Avenue up to 104th. In that, we'll be developing 30% drawings, evaluating some multimodal aspects, including looking at some pedestrian bridges and bike crossings in that location. And we're super excited to get work on this project. So hopefully you can see the light at the end of the tunnel.
Thank you so much. Appreciate that. Thank you to Duke for that last question. And a quick reminder here, if you want to get email updates from the county, you can press 7 here. We had a little bit of a queue there, but we've got that cleared now. We're going to go to our next live question coming to us from Daniela in Henderson. Daniela, you're live. Go ahead.
Yes. Hi. This question pertains to voter integrity. We know that Colorado has a sterling reputation with respect to mail-in and walk-in ballots. Can Mr. Ziegelbaum address what steps Adams County will take to preserve voter integrity? And relatedly, how will Adams County prevent releasing voter rolls to that federal government?
This is a great question. Thank you for bringing it forward. Voter integrity is something that we do in our office. We take it very seriously. Regardless of how the person chooses to vote, whether it's at the drop box, through the mail, or they come on in and do it in person. We have several mechanisms in place that I can't get too into specifics of security for security reasons. However, there are many mechanisms in place to ensure that our boxes are safe and that the ballots, once they get back into our warehouse, are safe and tracked and accounted for. Regarding the federal government, I know that there has been some activity in the news recently surrounding ballots and other materials and documents being seized from a county in Georgia, I believe. Rest assured that if they attempt to do that here in Adams County, that the answer will be no. They have no authority to do that in the state of Colorado, and if they are going to attempt to do it, we will we'll intercede.
Much appreciated. Thank you again. Appreciate everybody's questions tonight. We're going to go to our next one coming to us from Mary, who is joining us from unincorporated Adams County. And she submitted this question in advance through our web registration page. She asks, are there any plans to replace Pecos Street in unincorporated Adams County? The street is terrible to drive on. Who wants this one from Mary? And I think we're going to probably go to Commissioner Odorizio to start.
Yes, that's right. Pecos Corridor, if you're talking about the unincorporated portion, you're likely talking about the area at the 4 miles long between 52nd Avenue and 84th Avenue. Recently, we completed a three-quarters of a mile stretch with new sidewalks, medians, new lanes in both directions. The rest of the corridor is also now beginning or underway a study through Dr. Cog, that's the Denver Regional Council of Governments. And you can follow the study on the website at engage.drcog.org/Pecos. And the reason why that's important is you can see how the process begins is that you start with a study and then we get these projects on a list and you work through the process of trying to prioritize these projects compared to other projects and then funding. We did complete recently, in addition to that three-quarter mile improvement, 2 years ago, about a year and a half, 2 years ago, we did complete a different Dr. Cog process for signal synchronization, which we hope also helps with the flow. As far as like resurfacing, there is no plan at this time from the areas from 62nd to 84th for a full reconstruction. But there are opportunities, if you see potholes, to please report them, and we will be able to address those. If you have any questions, please feel free to go to the website or you could report items on C-Click Fix. Thank you very much.
Thank you again. Appreciate that answer, and thank you so much to Mary for the question. We're going to go to Judy in Federal Heights for our next question. Judy's asking, a lot of focus is being placed on funding. What support is being considered to retain staff and sustain programs? I believe we'll go to Commissioner Baca to take this one on.
Yes, thank you so much, Judy, for the question. We really appreciate it. So coming into the 2026 budget year, we were very cautious as Adams County. We continue to invest in our employees and work hard to take care of our people, including our employees and all of our residents. We know that good financial stewardship means that more stability for our workforce and our residents. So the county focused this year on a two-year outlook for budget funding. So we're in 2026. We also took a look ahead to 2027. What we're looking at is that there will be significant changes at state and the federal level. They'll begin to have substantial measurable impact on the county in 2027. But there's declining revenues in 2027 that we're currently starting to project as well. So we're definitely going to take a more conservative approach as we look forward. So what we are prioritizing for our residents is sustainable services, utilizing existing resources, and to demonstrate a clear benefit to our residents here in Adams County. What the board focused on and what we value very highly is the service delivery level to our constituents, our residents, and thank you for joining us tonight. We also want to make sure we're doing everything that we can to prevent and mitigate disruptions from government shutdowns all the way to the fiscal cliff as we end our ARPA funding, the America Rescue Plan Act funding. So we're being very cautious, very committed, and we're being very intentional with our funding this year. The basis of our work a lot of the times is that we are preparing for emergencies. This means we will maintain appropriate reserves to ensure that we are able to respond to the needs of our community. So our full budget, it is available online at adamscountyco.gov/townhall. Thank you so much for the question.
And thank you again for the answer, Commissioner Baca. Let's go ahead and go to our second PSA and our second polling question for you. And a reminder, you get to vote in those polls on your phone, and we love that feedback. Our second PSA for you is this. Before we move on to our next question, we want to spotlight one of Adams County's programs, the Block Party Trailer. Stocked up with yard games, sports equipment, activities for all ages, and everything you need to throw a neighborhood get-together. The Block Party Trailer helps residents in unincorporated county areas meet each other, strengthen connections, and build community. Best of all, it's free to check out. All you have to do is bring your neighbors. So check availability, learn how to reserve the trailer by visiting that very same website, adamscountyco.gov/townhall. Again, adamscountyco.gov/townhall if you're interested in the Block Party Trailer. We're going to go to our second survey question for you. Again, we have five of these tonight, and we really do appreciate this feedback from all of you in our listening audience. Our second question for you is this. What do you need the most help with right now? Press 1 if it's housing, rent, or utilities assistance. Press 2 if it's food assistance. Press 3 if it's health care or mental health support. Press 4 if it's employment or barriers to jobs like training, child care, or transportation, and press 5 if it's difficulty affording an unexpected expense. So again, our second survey question for you is, what do you need the most help with right now? Press 1 if it's housing, rent, or utilities assistance. Press 2 if it's food assistance. Press 3 if it's healthcare or mental health support. Press 4 if it's employment or barriers to jobs like training, child care, or transportation. Press 5 if it's difficulty affording an unexpected expense. Vote on those now. We do appreciate you giving us all this feedback through our polls. We've got another question coming right up to us from Ronnie in Westminster, who's asking, Why is there no plan to address high home and residential taxes for seniors? And I believe we're going to go back to Commissioner DiRiccio for the answer to this one from Ronnie.
Yes, Ronnie, thank you so much for the question. We are aware that people are struggling with affordability of many areas of their life and they need relief. When it comes to the broad question of residential property taxes, we will let you know that the legislature and the governor did pass tax relief on property taxes to slow down the growth of those property taxes. It should be noted that those property taxes are based on the value of homes, and that Adams County was not raising taxes. Unfortunately, the values do continue to climb. With that said, that legislation did reduce property taxes, and that should be spread throughout the community for those who own property. Unfortunately, that did cost the county about $20 million of revenue. That is, should be reflected throughout the community and spread throughout. For specific taxes and help for veterans and seniors, we still do have a senior citizen exemption as well as a veterans with disability exemption. And we encourage you to go to the Adams County website to learn more about those exemptions that are specific to seniors and veterans. If you have any questions, again, go to the website. Thank you very much for your question.
Yep, appreciate it. Thank you so much, Commissioner DiRiccio, and thank you again for our question from Ronnie. Let's go to Lisa next in Thornton, who's asked me to read this one. Lisa asks, I'd like to ask about the homeless situation in the Panhandle area. It seems that this is getting worse. It's kind of scary to walk around in Thornton. Off 104th Street and Irma, there are some people living in the ditch. There's a similar situation by King Supers on 100th Drive as well. And I think we're going to go to Matt Rivera, our Community Safety and Well-Being Director, for this answer, Lisa.
Hi, yes. Thank you very much for bringing this question forward. I know we all have a lot of concerns about our unhoused community members. I want to reiterate that though this situation is in Thornton proper, we work closely with all of our municipal partners to address unhoused residents. So please feel free to reach out directly to the City of Thornton or the Adams County team, and we could get someone in response. For this particular instance, we will go ahead and log it and make sure that they are aware of it. I also just want to address your concern around public safety. If it ever does become an issue for you, please contact your local police department because we operate in a response situation that is meant to provide navigation and case management rather than provide that public safety component.
Thank you again. Appreciate you, Matt. Thank you for the question, Lisa. And let's go to a live caller. Sounds like Lewis and Byers, you're happy to go live with your question. You're up. Go ahead, please.
Hi, I want to know what we're doing for our law enforcement officers out here in unincorporated Adams County. Number one, do we have enough coverage? And two, how are we supporting our law enforcement officers out here in unincorporated Adams County?
Great question. This is Sheriff Claps answering your question. I think we have adequate staffing. We're actually, since 2023, we were negative 144 individuals when I came into office, and right now our certified staff is fully staffed. I think with a retirement that we just had, we might be negative one right now. So this is the greatest number that we've had for several years. We continue to move forward. We continue to evaluate the housing and the amount of houses that are going in our Eastern Plains to make sure we have a good ratio of law enforcement to what is there and the population that is moving into the Eastern Plains, which is continuing to grow on a monthly basis. It is supported well. Our command staff, our direct reports, our deputies are trained highly in that area and are doing a fantastic job. Obviously, there's always room for change and for growth, and we continue to strive and work on that to better it for our community and for our citizens in Adams County. And thank you, Annette. That's a great question.
Yeah, thank you, Sheriff Kloss. Appreciate you. Thanks again to Lewis. We'll go to Carrie live from Thornton next. Hey, Carrie, thanks for waiting, and you're live. Carrie, we still got you there on the line?
Sorry, I was muted still. This is Carrie. I was reaching out for our folks in Adams County that are on some of the long-term care Medicaid services with the waivers that are being significantly affected by Polis's decisions. And I'm wondering how Adams County is going to support them, because when we call in to the Adams County Human Services, we have to wait on the phone and we often get disconnected. Who's going to help these people in this time of need? And how are we helping the situation within Adams County?
Hi, Carrie. This is Katie McDougall. I'm the Human Services Director. Thank you so much for your question and bringing this to light. Happy to take any information on an individual basis, so please contact us at 720-523-2700 so that we can work through any challenges you might be having. We also acknowledge that Medicaid applications, in particular the long-term care Medicaid, can be extremely challenging and time-consuming. We do have support for Adams County residents through Benefits in Action, who can help individuals walk through that very lengthy application process, but definitely continue to reach out to us, and we are here to help.
Thank you so much. Appreciate that. And Carrie, I'm going to repeat that phone number for you and make sure I get this right here, if you wouldn't mind, Katie. It was 720-523-2700. Again, 720-523-2700. And thank you for reaching out with that last question there. We're going to go to our third PSA of the evening. We're going to talk about something we already got a question on. It's C-Click-Fix. So this is another Adams County resource spotlight. We hear all the time that residents want an easy way to report everyday issues they see around them, things like potholes, graffiti, property cleanup concerns. One of the easiest ways to do that is through the C-Click-Fix app. You can report issues right from your phone anytime it's convenient for you. Just search C-Click-Fix in your app store for iPhone or Android. It's one more way to stay connected and let us know what's happening in your community. And you guessed it, the website you can find out more information is adamscountyco.gov/townhall. Again, adamscountyco.gov/townhall. And let's go ahead and jump to our third survey question. Actually, we've got another good question coming into us for a lot of questions coming in for Sheriff Claps. And I'd like to take this on before we move to our third polling question. It was asked by a lot of our community questions in advance of the meeting. We're seeing this question from some of our live audience as well, and it's for Sheriff Clapp. The question is, what is Adams County Sheriff's role when it comes to federal immigration enforcement, and where is the line clearly drawn? Again, a lot of questions on this, Sheriff. I'll turn it over to you to take it on.
Well, thank you, and that's another great question. The Adams County Sheriff's Office enforces state and local laws while we're patrolling not only all of Adams County, but the majority or in all of unincorporated Adams County. We also operate our jail and our courthouse constitutionally required here in Adams County and across the state. All the sheriffs are responsible for the same involvement. We in the Sheriff's Office do not enforce federal immigration laws. And ICE, Homeland Security, whatever they want to go by, are responsible for their own actions. Another thing that is very problematic is that we are not notified when they are coming into our area or into Adams County or into any area that they're enforcing any immigration action. So we are not advised. We do not have information or heads up that they're into a particular area. So it is problematic for us when we start getting notification of things occurring. However, it has been relatively low to the point where we've only had a couple actual events that we've heard and confirmed that occurred in Adams County. The actual enforcement by ICE and Homeland Security has been pretty minor at this point in time. Our focus, and to answer your question, when you get to where is the line clearly drawn, I think we can say that the line is drawn by not only our state, but our own policies here in Adams County and across the state. We have to enforce our laws by state and local laws, where ICE and Homeland Security enforce federal. Generally, what they're enforcing is civil law, and in occasionally to get into criminal law at the federal level, which is a very small component of what they actually do. Mostly civil action is what they're focusing on when it comes to immigration status and detaining folks here across the country. So thank you for your answer or your question. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you for the comprehensive answer there, Sheriff Claps, and thank you to everybody who asked questions about that. And we're going to go to our third survey question now. It's our third of five, so go ahead and get ready to vote on your phone. Our question for you is, what makes you want to stay in Adams County? Press 1 if it's family or community. Press 2 if it's your job or commute. Press 3 if it's lower costs than other areas. Press 4 if it's access to quality services or schools. And press 5 if it's quality of life, parks, and open space. So again, our next question for you to vote on is, what makes you want to stay in Adams County? Press 1 for family or community, 2 for your jobs or commute, 3 for lower costs than other areas, 4 for access to quality services or schools, and 5 for quality of life, parks, and open space. Thanks again for everybody's question, votes in those polls. We're going to go back to our live audience for another question here coming from Mary in unincorporated Adams County, who's asked me to read this one. She asks, what is going on in Goat Hill neighborhood sidewalks and drainage? When are they starting construction, and what funding is available? If the funding is not available now, when will it be available? And Mary from unincorporated Adams County, we're going to take your question to Janet Lundquist, our Public Works Interim Director.
Hi, Mary. Goat Hill Projects really has been a long-term effort in our neighborhood group projects. The project was in the final-ish phase, meaning 60% to 90% drawn. We had actually submitted this project for congressional discretionary spending and were notified that a project was selected. Unfortunately, with the change in the current administration, our project was not funded. We continue to work on this project to get it to a final state and also attempt to pursue additional grant funds so that we can complete the project. In total, it's about a $15 million project, which is a pretty big lift for us to complete in one singular phase. But just know we are committed, and it is in our project pipeline.
Yeah, we were really excited. This is Steve Odorizio. We were really excited when we did receive the initial commitment for congressional discretionary spending on this particular project, because the Goat Hill neighborhood deserves curbs, gutters, and sidewalks. Unfortunately, this is just another one of those examples how the division in Washington has created ripple effects throughout the United States, and unfortunately, it's affecting some of our specific neighborhoods that we really needed the resources for. So we're not giving up on Goat Hill. We're not giving up on curb, gutter, sidewalks throughout unincorporated Adams County, and so we're going to do our best to go find more of that funding and try to get more of those resources so we can get this across the finish line.
Thank you again, Commissioner DiRisio. Appreciate you, Janet. And Commissioner, hang tight. We've got a good question for you up next here. It comes to us from Ben in North Glen, who's asked me to read it. He's asking, I wrote this on the question space in the invite online. When I submitted, I was concerned to see why my value of my home went down $20,000 over the year, but my property taxes are going to be 20% higher. Do you mind taking that one on from Ben in North Glen?
Sure.
All right. We have some folks that are going to be able to try to see if they can understand. This is Steve Odorizio. One of the things that I always recommend is if people have questions about their property tax bill, you need to look at the full thing. It's not always an Adams County portion of your property tax that is impacted by your total property tax bill. One of the things I always do is recommend sitting down and looking at your property tax bill. Some of that increase, especially when your value went down, might be due to increases in other areas, whether it's a different portion of government, maybe it's school, maybe it's metro district or otherwise. I can't answer exactly that. The bottom line is it's based on value, so I understand your question. And I think that I just simply without looking at it, I can't answer that off the top of our head. But I would definitely compare your bill to the prior one and see if those increases are attributed to a specific property tax in a different government entity or based on the value.
Perfect. Thank you, Commissioner. Appreciate you going over that for Ben, and thank you for your question, Ben in North Glen. We're going to go to our next question coming to us from our Spanish-speaking and listening member. We are broadcasting in Spanish as well tonight, so thanks to those of you who are listening in Spanish. This comes from Milagros in Westminster, who's asking, we see cars in the parking lots all over Adams County with families living in them. Is there any support from Adams County in terms of funding? Has any money already been allocated to help the population experiencing homelessness? So thank you for this question from Milagros. Let's go to Commissioner Mullica to start out.
All right. Thank you so much for this question. We actually get this question a lot, and I think it's really important to highlight some of the great work that Adams County is doing. We have a poverty and homeless reduction unit. So this is an entire team that's focused on shelter, stability, street outreach, and transition services. The program includes emergency shelter coordination, hotel-based bridge housing, employment support, and navigation services. The poverty reduction unit staff directly administers and partners with several nonprofits to serve people experiencing vehicular homelessness. Adams County partially funds two safe parking lots. So these are permanent and regulated spaces for people to sleep overnight. These safe lots also provide sanitation services, case management, and access to rehousing funds. We have one safe lot in Commerce City and another one in unincorporated Adams County. You can find more information about these lots on our website, adamscountyco.gov/townhall. Outside of the safe parking space, we do have other services that we provide, which of course is our severe weather activation program. So that's hotel vouchers when there's cold weather events. We have a Pathways to Stability program, which is our bridge housing program. And then of course our municipal streets outreach program. So the best way to get connected to really any of these services is to reach out, of course, to the Adams County team. But if you are in a municipality, each city has their own homelessness navigators. So there's multiple entry points for you to reach out, get questions answered, and get connected with services. I'm going to kick it over to Matt Rivera. If I missed anything, please let me know.
Thank you, Commissioner. This is such an important topic because we have 12% of our unhoused population experiencing vehicular homelessness. So I really thank you for bringing this up, but Commissioner Mullica hit the nail on the head. So thank you so much.
Thank you again. Appreciate those answers and appreciate that last question came to us from Milagros. We're going to go to our fourth PSA. And so if you are taking notes, now's the time to grab your pen and paper. One topic we always hear a lot about is transportation. Transportation decisions affect all of us, but especially here in Adams County, where every mode of transportation in Colorado meets. Access matters, and your voice is important. Between all the different players, from local leaders to RTD to Dr. Cog and CDOT, it can be hard to keep track of who does what and how to weigh in. To see current opportunities to get involved in regional and statewide transportation conversations, visit that website, again, adamscountyco.gov/townhall, and scroll to the Get Involved Transportation section. We appreciate you listening in for our PSAs. We're going to have another survey in a moment here, but we want to go back to our live audience. We've had Jim in Sherwood waiting for a while. Jim, thank you so much for waiting. What's your question?
Yeah, I live in unincorporated Adams County. I was wondering, is there a place that you can take large amounts of like yard waste, like you could cut down a tree or bushes, kind of like they do in Broomfield?
Thank you, Jim. This is Byron Fanning, the Director of Parks, Open Space, and Cultural Arts for the county. And yes, actually, a couple of times a year, we have yard cleanup collections at Riverdale Regional Park, which is essentially 120th and Old Brighton Road, between Old Brighton Road and Riverdale. We do that in the spring and the fall for a spring cleaning and a fall cleanup. We also do offer similar services after large storms that take down a lot of limbs or create damage and take down trees. With that said, I'll also pass to Janet Lundquist with Public Works, who also has more to add.
Hi, all. So we also have a really great opportunity for you with our neighborhood cleanup events. For 2026, we have three events planned. We have a neighborhood cleanup event at our Strasburg Yard on Saturday, May 9th, starting at 7 a.m., ending at noon. Then we have a neighborhood cleanup event in Berkeley Gardens neighborhood, and that's on May 16th, 2026, also starts at 7 a.m., ends at noon. And then we have a third cleanup that's at our District 2 Central Shop, and that's on May 30th, 2026, again, 7 to noon. You can always follow on our website for the specific days. We advertise those events in advance. You can bring yard waste. You can bring some debris. We do ask that you don't bring household hazardous waste materials like paint or electronics, but virtually just about anything else we'll collect at those three events here up in the spring. So happy spring cleaning.
All righty. Thank you so much. Appreciate that answer. And thank you again for your question. That one came to us from Jim. We've got Ellie and Bennett, who's asked me to read this next one. And Ellie's asking, there are a lot of unmaintained roads out there that are supposed to be maintained by the county, but when we have weather, they are slick and undrivable. The roads, for example, Penrith and Harbach, are supposed to be maintained by the county, and we take a picture and send it to the app, but is there a better way to get the attention of the county to maintain these roads? Janet, do you mind if we go back to you for the answer to this one from Ellie and Bennett?
Sure, I'm happy to answer this question. I think the best way to reach us when you're seeing issues with your roadway conditions is to reach through the Seek Click Fix app or call our Public Works office directly. We will then route a crew out to help fix those locations. I will tell you, though, with adverse weather, we do have to look at the priority of some roads that are maybe a little bit more higher traveled, and we do maintain over 1,600 miles of gravel roadways in the county. So sometimes we may not be as timely as you'd like, but as soon as you let us know, we'll get that on our schedule list to address it quicker if it's identified to us.
Thank you again, Janet. Thank you to Ellie. Let's get another live caller up. This comes to us from Kat in Arvada. Kat, welcome. What's your question?
Hi, can you hear me?
Sure can.
Hold on. Oh, you can?
Yeah.
Okay. Hi. I was just calling because the whole ice situation in Minnesota and everything, I live in a neighborhood that is a very highly Hispanic populated neighborhood. And I was just curious if they started coming in here hot, like I've seen videos of in Minneapolis. Do we call 911? Can we call you guys for help? I mean, my neighbors are awesome. And if they start coming in here acting like I've seen on TV, you know, all the videos and stuff, I'm just, how do we respond to that? Or how can to feel safe in knowing that the county has our back and we are allowed to call 911 and protect our neighbors?
That is such a good question, Kat. Thank you so much for bringing it up. It's top of mind for all of us. This is Commissioner Emma Pinter sitting here with the board. I just want to thank you for asking that question. I want to highlight, if you ever see illegal activity, you can also report that to our Attorney General's office, Colorado Attorney General Phil Weiser, for any illegal activity by federal agents can be reported. We're also here with our sheriff, and I would ask the sheriff to respond because he is part of our 911 team and how they respond to disputes in community.
Well, thank you, and that's another great question tonight. I would definitely call 911 to advise of what you're seeing and what's going on, and at least to get us out there. We can't necessarily intervene with what the federal entities are doing, but we can hold them accountable. Our mission is to protect and to serve our community with professional law enforcement staff, and we will be there to support our communities. Our deputies are out proactively policing all the time, probably within minutes of any location in Adams County. But I would definitely call, at least get it on the radar so we can get out there. And if we need to then intervene, if there is a violation of constitutional rights or other illegal activity that is going on, also to confirm who's actually there, to know if we are dealing with a federal entity or not. Because not here, but in other places across the country, there has been unknown assailants that actually act like some of the ICE officials, and they're not. So at least it would give us an opportunity to get out there and to contact them and to verify who they are and what they're doing. So thank you, and that was a very good question.
Sheriff, sure. Can people also call 911 to verify the person at the door is law enforcement?
You can. The problem is that ICE and Homeland Security do not work off of our channels or comms, so they are not advising anyone that they're at a residence. They don't advise anybody that they're in an area. We hear about it secondhand, and generally by the time we actually find out, it's already too late. They're already come and gone. So having the information early on and up front is much quicker for us to be able to respond to verify who is there. You will find out if you do call, in some cases, it could be an outside entity. So if you live in unincorporated Adams County and you call and you say, is there law enforcement at my door? I would hope that if someone from outside of the county, let's say the city proper of Arvada, were there to attempt to contact somebody for a traffic accident, we may not have knowledge of them being there. But ideally, they do advise our dispatching to advise that they're at an address at a specific location for a specific reason, and we should be able to identify who's there. So you can absolutely call 911 not only to report the incident, but to also verify if law enforcement is at your door.
Very helpful answers. Thank you, Sheriff. And thank you, Kat. Appreciate you being part of our forum tonight. We are going to go right to Peter, who's joining us from Thornton next. Peter, we've got you live. Go ahead.
All right. Thanks for taking my call. My question. I wondered about the issue of homelessness again. I know that's come up. My understanding is the point in time count from 2024 was up from 2023, 970 individuals. And that several services that are provided in the county, provided by different nonprofits, Almost Home, and a few others, all of which are kind of facing TANF cuts and federal grant cuts in general and other funding issues. Is the county doing anything to address these shortfalls with these services provided by these nonprofits, considering what seems to be the fact that homelessness is increasing in the county?
Got it. Thank you, Peter. Commissioner Pinter, do you mind taking this one on from Peter and Thornton?
Yeah, thank you so much, Peter. It's top of mind for all of us. We've spent many hours in this very room wrestling with what our options are as a commission. It's something we all take very seriously. We experienced, as was mentioned earlier, two rounds of property tax cuts internally from the state of Colorado, as well as cuts in funding from the federal government. Reimbursement rates are down, as well as the workload and verifications are up. Our efforts have been to stabilize the services that we can provide, and that does mean things that were really important, like transitional housing, that we are previously funding out of TANF reserve funds, are not currently funded because those TANF reserve funds are gone. That doesn't mean we don't have services available in Adams County. The Adams County Resource Locator is available. That'll be mentioned on the adamscountyco.gov/townhall website to look at that Adams County Resource Locator. And I'll pass it to Matt Rivera with Community Safety and Wellbeing, who do the point-in-time count and help track these numbers and are worrying with us about what our community is facing and the housing crisis that we're all up against right now.
Yes, thank you, Commissioner. You're absolutely correct that we did see an increase in our point-in-time count in the last couple of years. And actually, we just conducted our point-in-time count on Tuesday earlier this week, so we won't have the next set of numbers till later in the summer. But most importantly, for residents that are unhoused, is that from a county perspective, we have not had any disruption in county-provided services. However, we know how fragile the safety net services are in the community, as well as our partners. And the federal funding that you spoke about has greatly or can greatly impact those that are receiving those safety net services. And so we are continuously monitoring that to make sure that we can serve our most vulnerable residents.
Thank you again. Appreciate that answer. And thanks so much for everybody's questions. I did want to remind you that if you wanted to get email updates from the county, you can press 7 before the end of our forum here. We had a big queue of folks waiting, but we've cleared that out now. So if you want to get those email updates from the county moving forward, go ahead and press 7 here. Speak to an operator. Give them your best email address so that we can get you on that update list. We're going to go to our next live question coming to us from Rosario in Commerce City. Rosario, thanks for waiting. What's your question?
Thank you very much. It's kind of a tricky question, I guess, but based on my personal experience. So, you know, I've always been able to find work and all that, but then I had an accident. So now I'm disabled. And, you know, I believed in the system for as long as I can remember. But once I became disabled, I mean, I went, got help from Social Security, went to the Human Services. And so what do you do when the resources that they provide aren't no help to you? I mean, I was all about to get evicted, and I could not find no answers. So I don't know what resources I missed or what I had to do. But, I mean, from, you know, I was waiting to get to collect my disability benefits, but that took a while. So, you know, I'm at zero income, and I couldn't find anywhere. So I was in my car for a little while. And that's what I say. So what can be done?
Thank you, Rosario. Appreciate you being part of our forum. We're going to go to Katie McDougall, our Human Services Director, for this one.
Hi, Rosario. Thank you for sharing your circumstances and your experience with us. We recognize that sometimes the federal and state benefits that we administer may not be enough, and that can be extremely hard and extremely challenging. I want to just point you to the Adams County Resource Locator that Commissioner Pinter had mentioned earlier. We also have another resource for you called My Friend Ben, which often can help locate or find additional resources that can help individuals who are facing challenging times, and continue to reach out to the Department of Human Services to see how we can help connect you with multiple community partners who help with these challenges as well. And I see that Commissioner Duran-Mollica would like to add some to this as well. Commissioner?
Yes, thank you so much. And I really just want to point out, I know you're within the city of Commerce City, so they have a community well-being department as well for Commerce City, and they also have resources that can help you out. So definitely also reach out to them and make sure that they're aware of your situation, because local cities and municipalities, they sometimes have additional resources to help support. So, thanks.
Thank you again. Appreciate you both. Thank you again to Rosario. We've got our next question coming to us from Angel Live. Angel in Federal Heights, looks like you've asked me to read this one. Happy to do that for you. You ask, there is an intersection near my residence. I'd like to get a four-way stop put in place of the two-way stop. She's talking about 103rd and Zuni. Who can take this one on? Looks like we can go to Matt from Community Safety and Well-Being for this one from Angel in Federal Heights. And she mentions 103rd and Zuni looking for a four-way stop.
Hi, y'all. It's actually Public Works for this one. So I'm Janet Lundquist, the Interim Director of Public Works. So I'm just going to jump in and answer this one. Really, for anybody who's looking for a four-way stop or is having trouble with speeding or things like that, we actually have a program through our Public Works Department that's called the Neighborhood Traffic Calming Program. We work closely with the Sheriff's Office in identifying where we can really find the right size solution for the problem that's being exhibited. There's a lot of criteria that comes along with getting a four-way stop, and sometimes that may not be achievable based off of the traffic on the road. But if you go to our website, look up traffic safety, you can submit some information to us. We'll evaluate what kind of options we have out there, whether it's we coordinate with the sheriffs with increased enforcement, or if we could put in chicanes or look at different speeds, bumps and different things like that. So I really suggest anybody who's having a traffic calming issue in their neighborhood, go to our website and take a look at what we have to offer to you there.
Thank you so much. Appreciate that answer. And we'll be going to Brianna next. Then we're going to be running our fourth survey question. So get ready to vote on those. Brianna is going to be going live here. Hey, Brianna, thank you so much for waiting. What's your question for us?
Thank you. My question is, are there any more resources for elderly people that it's a little easier to be able to have? I have filled out many, many for my mother, who's 73 and is disabled and on a walker, and put in a bunch of things from the Adams County website, and each time get told that no, or she has more income than is supposed to be needed, and she is under the line. So is there any other resources that are actually more helpful or actually helpful for the elderly?
Hi, this is Matt with Community Safety and Well-Being. Thank you for your question, and I'm sorry that this has been your experience. I want to point you in a couple directions, and that is we do have a partnership with Brothers Redevelopment. They have an aging in place program, and we can go ahead and make that number available to everyone here. It is 844-926-6632. We'd encourage you to contact them from our vantage point. Another one is our minor home repair program, if that's something you're looking for. And again, you can visit adamscountyco.gov/townhall. And I'll turn it over to Katie in case she has anything else to add.
Thank you, Matt. And Brianna, thank you for your question. There's also some additional services that can be offered through some of our programming through Human Services. So please reach out to us at Human Services. And as I mentioned earlier, My Friend Ben is another great tool to help point you to the in direction of other resources that might be available.
Okay, and I'm also going to read that number again for Colorado Housing Connects with Brothers Redevelopment. It's 1-844-926-6632. Thank you.
Much appreciated. And folks, if you missed that phone number or any of the other phone numbers, you can go ahead and press 7, speak to one of our operators. They've got all of these phone numbers for the various departments that we've been reading, and they can read them to you at a pace you can write it down if you missed something. So if you didn't get a chance to write down one of those phone numbers, press 7, speak to an operator before the end of our forum in about 20 minutes here, and they'll be able to read those to you at a pace you can write them down if you missed. And we're going to go to our next question from Angela, and then we're going to be running that fourth polling question. So Angela has asked me to read this one. She asked, where can I find info on resources for unhoused individuals in Westminster as it is very cold outside with people sleeping outside? Thank you for that question, Angela. I think we're going to go to Matt from Community and Safety and Wellbeing for this one.
Hi, Angela. Yes, thank you for bringing up your concerns around our unhoused community members, particularly during this cold time. What the county does is utilize or distribute vouchers through our severe weather activation program. All of the municipalities and county navigators that work in the streets and make contact with unhoused individuals are able to issue them directly via web application. So it is our real commitment to getting any unhoused individuals off the streets. We also know that different communities do offer warming shelters in extreme weather situations, so we'd encourage all community members to look into those specific jurisdictions as well. But please don't hesitate to reach out directly to Westminster's outreach team or the Adams County outreach team, and we can connect anyone with those services.
Much appreciated. Thank you again. And we'll be going to Barbara after the survey question. So Barbara and Thornton, hang tight. Let's get this fourth survey for you, though. We want to know, when would you most likely join a town hall? Press 1 if it's a convenient day or time. Press 2 if it's a phone or virtual options. Press 3 if it's childcare or family-friendly options. Press 4 if it's knowing the hot topics ahead of time. Press 5 if it's an easy to get to location. So again, our question for you is, what would make you most likely to join a town hall? Press 1 if it's a convenient day or time. 2 if it's a phone or virtual options. Press 3 if it's childcare or family friendly options. Press 4 if it's knowing the topics ahead of time. Press 5 if it's at an easy to get to location. So that's attending an in-person town hall. Appreciate everybody voting in those surveys. We're going to have one more for you before the end of our forum. And our next question comes to us from Barbara and Thornton. Barbara, welcome.
Hi, thanks. I've lived in Thornton since 2012, and of course the population has surged during that time frame. But when I moved here, I did not notice too much about traffic, even though I live close to Colorado Boulevard. Since that time, the noise levels are exceeding ordinance requirements. There's no ordinance signs except for one on Monaco heading towards 96 South. And it's not being, what's the word? They're not enforcing the sound ordinances here. And it's so loud, I cannot hear my own TV with my doors and windows closed. There's multiple vehicles that come down these streets like Colorado Boulevard backfiring that sound like gunshots. It's just annoying, and I'm wondering, what is Adams County going to do to enforce the decibel limitations for the city?
Barbara, thank
Barbara.
You.
Go ahead, Chair.
Thank you, Barbara, for the question. You indicated it was in the area of 96th and Monaco. And one thing that is very difficult is obviously these are rolling cars. So having a time and a place when this is occurring would be very ideal. If we could get with you and contact you later where we can have that conversation and find out dates and times, you can also call in to our dispatch center and relay some of that information, and we can get our traffic unit on that problem. But until we have, filtered down some of the times of occurrence where we can get an officer or a car in the area to pay attention to that, then we can focus on that. It's very difficult when we have street racing, and by the time we get called and or loud noises like this, loud music even, the vehicles are already gone because they're rolling and they're moving down the street. So having the information ahead of time, if you have a specific date and time, is very helpful. And we would more than happy be out there to enforce the sound ordinances here in Adams County. So thank you.
And Barbara, this is Matt with Community Safety and Wellbeing, and sorry that's your experience. It must be frustrating. I will just add that if you have any concerns regarding private entities and their noise playing music, for example, after hours or outside their place of business, or if you have any noise related to animals, whether it be barking dogs, roosters, you can go ahead and call in and make a complaint either through our code compliance office or through our animal management office, and we can help you also mediate that situation with your neighbor if necessary. But again, you could find that information at adamscountyco.gov/townhall.
Thanks again to both of you, and I really appreciate that, Barbara. The sheriff said they were going to follow back up. You captured your information. We'll make sure we get that off to the sheriff's office, and appreciate you notifying us. We're going to be going to Annette Live next here, who's asked me to read this. She asked, why is Adams County one of the highest cost of living counties in the state of Colorado? And I believe for the answer to this question, we're going to go to Commissioner Mullica.
Really important question, because a lot of people are feeling the pain, especially financially these days. And so I think there's a lot of different ways we could talk about the cost of living, especially here in Adams County. But we all know that one of the biggest drivers to our costs are our housing costs. And so we simply just haven't built enough homes to keep up with the demand that we've had. We had lots of people move into Adams County. We're a rapidly growing county. And so I actually want to highlight some of the great work that we are doing as a county to talk about how are we going to get more units, more housing units built in Adams County. And I'm going to kick it over to our Director of Community and Economic Development, Jenny Hall, to talk about the work we're doing specifically on housing.
Thank you, Commissioner Mullica. So we know this is a very timely and also very dynamic question. Adams County actually is one of the most affordable counties in the Denver metro area. The challenge is that the state of Colorado as a whole has for quite some time now been the most expensive non-coastal housing market. And to Commissioner Mullica's point, yes, absolutely making sure that we continue to increase supply is a really critical piece of addressing it, but also that we're providing the right types of housing, right? It's not just unit numbers. It's making sure that we're providing a marketplace where the types of housing that become available are affordable to our residents based on what they make. Sometimes we hear that talked about as income-aligned housing. And Adams County has been doing a lot of work at the local level as well as at the regional level with the Denver Regional Council of Governments to get an updated picture on what does our housing supply look like across the different income spectrum. And that helps us tailor our policies to try and encourage the types of housing that best responds to our residents' needs and income levels. So we are going to be doing an update to our balanced housing plan this year, and that will really get into a lot of the strategies that address and incentivize we are almost about to get designated as an ADU supportive jurisdiction by the state of Colorado. That's a big accomplishment for our commissioners and for our residents. We want to make sure that people know a variety of ways that they can help their friends and family members find housing near them.
Thank you so much. Appreciate those answers. And we're going to go to a question for Clerk Ziegelbaum next from Joe in Brighton, who's asking, what is the county doing to ensure a safe and secure election this year? Clerk Ziegelbaum, that's again from Joe in Brighton.
Joe, thank you for this question. As clerk, it's actually one that I get pretty much everywhere I go. So election security in Colorado is top of mind, always is. We partner with several different agencies to review our systems, to review our infrastructure, physical infrastructure, as well as technical infrastructure to ensure that it is meeting and above standards. As far as all of our equipment here in the office, none of it is actually connected to the internet. There is an air gap in between the inside world and the outside world, so it would actually be impossible for somebody to hack into it. And then we also use paper. Colorado-wide, we use paper. And that in itself is a great security measure because you can't fake the paper. The ballots themselves are on a very specific weight, very specific size, and they have security features built into them. And so we are aware that if it is our ballot, if it's a ballot for the current election, et cetera, et cetera. And we do take it very seriously every single election. We actually just met earlier today discussing this exact topic. It involves law enforcement. It involves many other county agencies, including the Office of Emergency Management. There is a lot that we're doing here. I know that you know, some folks out there may want to hear specific details, but one of the security measures that we keep is we don't share those details as well. So if there's something more specific, please go ahead and email it on over to me. I'm happy to answer it for you. But at a high level, that's really what we're doing to keep them safe and secure in the county.
Thank you again. Appreciate that answer. And we've got time for just a couple more questions here. We're going to run our fifth survey question for you first, though. This is our last survey for you. We want to know, if you were in charge of the county budget, which would you prioritize? Press one if it's affordable housing and homelessness prevention. Press two if it's public safety and law enforcement programs. Press three if it's human services and support programs. Press four if it's roads, bridges, and facilities. And press five if it's jobs and economic growth. So again, if you were in charge of the county budget, which would you prioritize? Press one for affordable housing and homelessness prevention. Press two for public safety and law enforcement programs. Press three for human services and support programs. Four for roads, bridges, and facilities. And five for jobs and economic growth. Thank you again for voting in all five of those surveys. We really do appreciate your feedback. We'll go to Tara in Henderson next. Tara, welcome, and thanks for waiting.
Thank you so much. This question is in regard to the intersection at 104th and Brighton Road. This intersection sees frequent traffic accidents, including a recent fatal motorcycle accident. What are the future plans to improve safety at this intersection, including the possibility of adding a stoplight or roundabout?
Hi, Tara. This is Janet Lundquist from Public Works again. I'm sorry to hear that there was a recent traffic accident at this location. We've been working really hard over the past year or so on a comprehensive safety action plan for the county. It looks at our entire county and is a partnership between the City of Arvada, Aurora, Brighton, Commerce City, Federal Heights, Northland, and Westminster. And what we're doing is taking all the crash data and compiling it and helping us prioritize locations, just like the intersection at 104th and Brighton, and evaluating how we can start implementing projects. This intersection in specific is actually shared with Commerce City, so I'm hopeful with this partnership that we already have in compiling the comprehensive safety action plan that we can start working together and finding a solution at this intersection. Thank you for the question.
Thank you so much, and we've got time for one more here. Then we're going to do a final PSA, then we'll start wrapping up our forum. We've got this one from Chua in Commerce City asking, what are we doing about the influx of vehicles with expired license plates? There's a lot in Henderson, and I worry that they don't have insurance in the event of an accident. Hit and runs are not so great for our community. Sheriff Claps, do you mind taking this one on for Chua in Commerce City?
Absolutely, and thank you. I think I'm going to share on this one with our clerk, Ziegelbaum, also, and he can also include some of his information. Focused heavily on this issue for quite a few years now, and it continues not only to grow, but we continue to really focus on problem areas where we've, a couple months ago, staged a law enforcement event with all of the municipalities in Adams County. So I reached out to all of our city police chiefs, and everyone was involved with a community, a day of enforcement of not only expired license plates, but speeding and traffic violations. the focus was on expired plates. And at the end of the day, we ended up with hundreds of violations. We ended up with drug cases and drug arrests from distribution cases. We ended up with a lot of different things, and it all started with expired license plates. Throughout that day, we found DUIs. We had many that did not have insurance. We had many that did not have their registrations, obviously, with their license plates. And a lot of them didn't even have driver's licenses. So this is a critical thing and something that we focus on often, and we're actually planning another event coming up here in the near future. We've also focused on getting into the neighborhoods to target the neighborhoods that have expired plates and abandoned vehicles that are parked in neighborhoods, where we go in and we contact those cars, we tag them with 7-day letters, and then we go back and start towing them if they have not been addressed or fixed. Or some of these areas that we've actually removed in a square mile, 300 to 500 vehicles that have been towed out of some of these areas because of the heavy sedation of expired license plates and abandoned vehicles that are physically broken down. They're missing tires, wheels, body parts that they're not street legal, that we have to address and get them out of neighborhoods. So I'm going to go ahead and pass it over to our clerk and see if he has some additional information.
Thanks, Sheriff. Yeah, I definitely have a couple of things. So in addition to elections, I also oversee our motor vehicle operations, and that not the driver's license side. Can't really help you with that other than connecting you. But on the plates, if we're talking about handicap placard, that's my wheelhouse. In addition to what the sheriff said regarding code enforcement, or excuse me, the enforcement of expired plates, if it's on private property, the county's code enforcement department can help with that. So reach out or go to the website that's been given out multiple times, the adamsco.gov /townhall, and you'll be able to find that info there. But we do have multiple motor vehicle offices located around Adams County. We actually have 6 of them. We also have a phone center. We have a commercial hub. It's the only one in the state where commercial or businesses can come on in and get specialized servicing there. We also have 5 locations at King Supers where you can go and you can get your tags. If the store is open 24 hours a day, you can do it 24 hours a day. So there is lots of opportunity. I know it's expensive, but if you want to drive on the roads, it is a requirement. I do still hear the questions from back in COVID when things shut down, people thinking that we're no longer open. We have been open for years, so please make sure you're coming on back into our offices and getting this taken care of. If you want to drive in Colorado, you have to do it.
And Chua, this is Commissioner Julie Mollica. I also just wanted to add, I see that you're in Commerce City. Reach out to the Commerce City City Council. I think they just did an ordinance around this work as well. So reach out to the City Council members, and then I think they might be able to help you determine what other local ordinances they recently passed that could help you in the situation.
Thank you so much. Appreciate everybody's answers. Thank you, Chua, for the question. We're actually going to fit one more in here. We've still got 400 of you listening in after 90 minutes. So thank you to everybody who's stuck with us for the last hour and a half and all of the questions you've submitted. We really do appreciate your participation tonight. Let's get in Betty from Brighton here, who says, I've watched the Adams County Fairgrounds go from a flower grass oasis to a barren place. It's being torn apart with gravel and rock put every way. What is the master plan for this? Can we start out with on Betty's question with Commissioner Baca, please?
Absolutely. Betty, good evening. Thank you so much for the question. Also, my hometown is Brighton, so thank you for tuning in tonight. So the Adams County Fairgrounds, if you've been by recently in the last 12 to 15 months, we're going through a major transformation at the fairgrounds. So the Board of County Commissioners, we funded as a priority to do some foundational infrastructure improvements. It's going to be transformational change at our fairgrounds. So over the years, you've seen the addition of the USS Colorado and the trails and the parking lot that support that. So we have accessibility for all of our residents as they visit that amenity. And then as you go on to the fairgrounds itself, so it's been under construction. So please be assured that we are about flowers and grass and beauty and nature, and it's just an opportunity for us to go in and do some infrastructure upgrades on some utilities, some Wi-Fi, getting some of our facilities out of the floodplain, rearranging some of the big structures on the fairgrounds. So you're going to see some major changes. The changes will be wrapping up in time for the Adams County Fair. So we look forward to you participating in that or visiting our fairgrounds. It's one of the most highly visited, one of our park amenities that we have here in Adams County. So I'm going to turn it over to Byron Fanning. It has been your right. The construction has been a lot. We're going to add some new picnic shelters. And so that dirt parking lot as you walk in or drive in to the left there is now going to have some picnic shelters. We are redoing a lot of the curb gutter sidewalks. So we're doing a lot of infrastructure changes. It will all wrap up and you'll see the final changes coming late summer and about to August in time for Adams County Fair. So I'm going to hand things over to Byron Fanning and he can explain. I didn't get to the master plan. Flowers and grass really are something that we do, really not master planned in. We try to get the big ticket items put in our master plan. But go ahead, Byron. Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner. And that's an excellent question. Thank you for asking it. Yes, it feels like there's been an awful lot going on at Riverdale Regional Park. I work there every day and there certainly has been. One thing to the commissioner's point, we are very much about flowers and grass. And by the time we're done, the flowers, grass, and vegetation at the park will increase. We're actually adding more vegetation to the park. So when the project is done, it will be less about some of the dirt that you saw and some of the gravel that was there before, and it's going to be even more beautiful if you can imagine that, and more trees for that matter, and I'm a big fan of trees. Also, you can find more about the master plan by going to our website, adamscountyco.gov, and you can go to navigate to the Parks Department and look at our capital project updates. And there's a lot of information on the Riverdale Regional Park planning and also the construction project there for you to review. So thank you. And that's an excellent question.
Thank you so much. Appreciate that last question coming to us from Betty. And thanks to everybody who provided answers to that question and others tonight. One more PSA. We've been hearing answers to your questions and about so many programs and resources in Adams County. Good news is, even outside of our town halls, you can get information directly from the experts all the time by tuning into the All in Adams podcast. Just like tonight's event, you can tune in while you're driving, walking, doing the dishes, wherever you are. You can stay in the loop on the latest news from your local government. Find All in Adams on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or YouTube. And of course, you can still find more information at adamscountyco.gov/townhall. And again, I want to thank you, everyone who joined tonight's live forum with our Adams County commissioners, sheriff, clerk and recorder, county manager, and department leaders. We took 30 questions tonight, and we still have 35 of you who submitted questions. So apologies if we didn't get to you. If you still have a question that you'd like answered, or if you need assistance from a specific Adams County department, stay on the line as we wrap up, and you'll be automatically directed to our voicemail system. Before we leave you for the evening, Commissioner Mullica, do you have any final thoughts or messages for our community?
Yes, really. I just want to say thank you all for spending part of your evening with us. Your time is valuable, and I truly appreciate you all showing up, asking questions, sharing concerns, and staying engaged. Public service works best when we're in conversation, not just during election season, but all year long. If you do have any other questions, I know that you just mentioned Ian, reach out to us. Our doors are always open. We want to hear from you, so please stay connected. Other than that, have a good evening, and we look forward to continuing to work with you.
Yeah, so thank you so much to the commission, to Commissioner Mullica, and we have 20 speakers, county commissioners, elected officials, department heads who took the time tonight to be on and to provide information and answer questions. So thank you so much to each of them, to our full board of commissioners, our sheriff, our clerk and recorder, county manager, our executive leadership team, all those department directors and county staff who offered their expertise tonight. We thank you. And a last reminder, we invite you to leave us a voicemail with any additional thoughts, questions, or concerns. If you need someone from the county to reach out and provide assistance, be sure to include your full name and the best contact information along with your message. The county will do our best to follow up with unanswered questions from this forum within coming weeks. And as we mentioned multiple times during this call, the information and resources we discussed can be found on our website at adamscountyco.gov/townhall. And that's a wrap on this Adams County Telephone Town Hall meeting. Thank you again for your time and for your interest in county government. Be well and have a great night.